thy mercy in the morning and thy truth by night.
Alleluia, alleluia.
Illumine our hearts, O Master, who lovest mankind with the pure light of thy divine knowledge. Open the eyes of our mind to the understanding of thy gospel teachings. Implant also in us the fear of thy blessed commandments, that trampling down all carnal desires, we may enter upon a spiritual manner of living, both thinking and doing such things as are well pleasing to thee. For thou art the illumination of our souls and bodies, O Christ our God, and unto thee do we send up glory. Together with thy Father, who is from everlasting, and thine all-holy, good, and life-creating Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages.
Amen.
Wisdom, let us attend, let us listen to the Holy Gospel. Peace be unto all. Attend that time when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them here to me." Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke, and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitude away.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. I have thought a good deal about this morning's gospel the last week, but being that we were on our pilgrimage to the monastery, my wife and I did not get back until late last night, I have not had a chance to put my thoughts down except in scattered notes. And so I will be relying heavily upon your prayers, that I might say something coherent, so that it will be at least halfway edifying to you. What strikes me about this morning's gospel is many things, but to start off with, we did not read it for this morning. It was not, that particular verse was not assigned as part of the lectionary, but this feeding of the 5,000 takes place immediately after Jesus has heard that John the Baptist was beheaded. It would seem that Jesus' ministry on earth, when he was here in the flesh, was very much tied to the ministry of John the Baptist. You'll remember, of course, that Jesus is conceived in the womb after John the Baptist has been conceived in the womb. Both conceptions, of course, are miracles. Elizabeth was past the age of childbearing, and the Blessed Virgin was a virgin, and knew not a man. So with the birth of John the Baptist, it announces the birth of Christ, God the Word, become flesh. And then you remember that after Jesus is baptized by John, he goes into the wilderness, is tempted by the devil, triumphs over the devil in the wilderness. In the wilderness. That's an important motif. And then it says in the Gospels, Matthew, that it was not until after he heard that John was imprisoned by Herod that he began his ministry. And he goes around throughout Galilee, preaching and teaching that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, just as John the Baptist had been preaching. So this sets the tone of Jesus' ministry, and it presents a curiosity, to say the least. John the Baptist is proclaiming that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and then he's arrested by Herod. And this morning, if we would go back and read the verse just before the verse of the gospel that was assigned, we learn that he was beheaded. Jesus, after he is baptized by John and after John is imprisoned by Herod, he begins to preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we know what happened to Christ. He was arrested and put to death on the cross. Where is the kingdom of heaven? This is what is so fascinating and so important. So John the Baptist is beheaded. He has died. Jesus hears this. And right away, he goes off into a desert place by himself to pray. And the multitudes come after him. They follow him. And it says that they came away from the cities. Please note, the feeding of the 5,000 takes place in the wilderness. And the people come away from the city to follow Christ into the wilderness and to be fed this miraculous meal. This is the shape of the Exodus, where the Israelites came away from Egypt. They were led, they followed Moses, they followed the Lord through Moses into the wilderness beyond the Red Sea. And there they had a meal. It says in Exodus chapter 24, no, yes, chapter 24 or 27. I have to go back and review. It's either 24 or 27. That after Moses has done a sacrifice, performed a peace offering on the altar, and has sprinkled the blood of the covenant on the people, which of course puts us in mind of Christ on the cross, the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world, and shedding his blood of the new covenant. Moses, after sprinkling the people with the blood of the covenant, he goes up to the mountain with the elders, Aaron and Abiud and Nadab, and all the elders of Israel. And there it says, the elders saw the place where God stood, and they had a meal. They saw the Lord standing in a slab of sapphire, which is deep blue. It looked like a firmament. It looked like God was standing in the sea of sapphire. And there they have a meal with the Lord on the mountain while they're on the Exodus. That's important. They're having this meal in the wilderness while they're on the Exodus, on the way to the promised land, on the way to the kingdom of heaven. This morning's feeding of the 5,000 looks just like that. It looks very much like that, except they're already in the promised land. This meal is taking place in the land of Canaan, the promised land. It's taking place in what Moses might have called the kingdom of heaven, because this promised land, the land of Canaan. That's where Israel set up its kingdom, the kingdom that was supposed to be the kingdom of God. But of course, as we know, they also mingled it with the idols. And it wasn't not only the kingdom of God, it was also the kingdom of many, many Baals and Asherah and all kinds of idols and demons. So in fact, it was not the kingdom of God. But here we are in the promised land. And we're having this meal where God is standing in the wilderness with his people. It has the shape of the Exodus. What's going on? How can it have the shape of the Exodus? The Exodus was over, is it not? It was over when they entered into the promised land. How can we be having a meal here in the wilderness within the promised land? Why has the promised land got a wilderness anyway? This is supposed to be God's country. What's the wilderness doing here in the promised land? And yet here we are in the wilderness, having a meal that is just like the meal that Moses and the elders had while they were on the Exodus. The feeding of the 5,000 also calls to mind how the Lord nourished and sustained Israel as they made their way through the wilderness to the promised land. He rained down manna or bread from the skies on them every day, which they gathered and ate until they were satisfied. And then they would gather up the remains. And the same thing is happening here this morning, in this morning's gospel. We have the Lord blessing the five loaves, and we have him feeding the 5,000. The multitudes have come who have followed him out into the wilderness on this kind of an exodus. No, it's not a kind of exodus. I shouldn't say that. It is the exodus in its inner meaning, in its inner reality. This is the inner exodus of the gospel. What this tells us is that this feeding of the 5,000 is a meal of the exodus. It looks much like the Eucharist, does it not? Divine liturgy, centered on the Holy Eucharist. You have come away from the city. Yes, I know we're still in the city. But you understand, in a certain way, you have come away from the city. You've come away from your TVs. You've come away from your morning newspaper, your morning cup of coffee. You presumably, if you're planning to receive, you have not had a morning cup of coffee. And you have come here to a mountain. The mountain where God stands. You've come to the place where God stands, on the cross. And we're getting ready to have a meal where the bread will be blessed and it will be distributed to everybody. And everyone will eat, and they will be satisfied with the bread of God. All of this tells us that the Holy Eucharist, which has the shape of this feeding of the 5,000, which has the shape of the Exodus, does it not tell us that the Holy Eucharist of the church is a meal of the Exodus, which is to say that we are on an exodus. Yes, you've been baptized, but we've not arrived yet. We are on an exodus. We're going somewhere, and we go this somewhere actually every year at Holy Pascha, in anticipation, and in a kind of participation in the mystery of the promised land that we are moving to, which is not Jerusalem. Let's see, where is it? That's east, so it could be that way. Probably shorter that way than it is that way. But we're not going to Jerusalem that way. We're going where? We're going to the tomb of Christ. We're on this journey. I mentioned the baptism of Christ and how that launched, or how that was the conclusion, if you will, of the first stage of Christ's earthly ministry before he begins the second stage of his ministry, and John is imprisoned, and Jesus begins to preach and to teach and the gospel throughout all of Galilee. It says that John was baptizing in Bethesda, or I think it was Bethany, one of those. And it says that when Jesus was baptized, the heavens opened. When Christ ascended into heaven, where did he take his disciples? do not take them to the same place, to Bethany. Which is to say that when the heavens opened at Jesus' baptism, it was being revealed where the kingdom of heaven is to be found. It was revealed where the promised land is. And when Jesus went from the Jordan after his baptism into the wilderness, and then he went from the wilderness all the way to his tomb, which was outside the city. Remember, he was not crucified in Jerusalem. He was taken outside the city, and he was crucified on Golgotha. All of this is showing to us what the journey is that we are on. What is this inner exodus that we are on in the church? It is an inner exodus into the kingdom of heaven, which has been opened to us by Christ's baptism and then by his death on the cross. When the veil of the curtain of the temple was torn in two, the graves were opened, the rocks were split open. This is where we're going. And yet, the Lord Jesus tells us that the kingdom of heaven is within you. It's within you. How can it be within you? Jeremiah the prophet tells us that the heart is deep, beyond all things, and it is the man. St. Paul tells us you were dead in your sins and trespasses. You were dead in your sins and trespasses. In other words, your heart was dead in sins and trespasses. I've quoted St. Macarius how many times, but now I've discovered I can also quote St. Maximus the Confessor. He too says that when you hear of tombs, don't just think of a physical tomb. Think also of your heart, for your own heart is a tomb. The path that the Lord is on, this exodus that the Lord is on, is the path that leads him outside the city to Golgotha and to his tomb, to his Sabbath rest in the tomb. And that is where the gates of heaven are opened. Because when the stone has rolled away, Christ has risen from the dead. Now the garden in which he was buried is now the garden of the resurrection. In other words, it is the garden of Eden. So when we hear all of this, we're given to understand that this inner exodus that we as the faithful are on is an exodus that is in which we're following Jesus outside the city, away from the world, away from the passions and the vices of the body. We're supposed to be coming away from those. And we're supposed to be following the Lord Jesus, not back to Egypt, but into our heart, into the tomb of our heart, where we are called to become one with him in the likeness of his death. And this is what we do when we deny ourselves and take up our cross, the ascetic disciplines of the church, and strive to follow Christ to where he's going, where he's leading us, which is into the tomb of the heart. This is the inner exodus of the church. And this meal, the feeding of the 5,000, as it were, is helping us to understand what this meal that we are about to partake of is all about, this Holy Eucharist. The fact is, the matter is that the Holy Eucharist is not the feeding of the 5,000. The feeding of the 5,000 is like the Holy Eucharist. But the feeding of the 5,000 is simply bread that has been blessed. So when the people eat this bread, they're eating the blessing of the Lord. In Holy Eucharist, we're not just eating the blessing of the Lord. We're eating and drinking the Lord himself. We're eating and drinking his precious body and his precious blood. As we say, as the priest says when he prepares the gifts, eaten yet never consumed, divided yet never disunited. In other words, as we eat of Christ in the Holy Eucharist, we are participating in the mystery of his death and resurrection. And this is our meal. This is the meal of our Exodus. This is what we eat and drink as we are on this Exodus, following the Lord Jesus Christ into the tomb of our heart, where with his help and by his power, by the power of his cross, that's why we take up the cross. That's why we take up the ascetic disciplines of the church to the degree that we can. That's why we observe the seasons of the fast. That's why we observe the feasts of the church. It's why the liturgical rhythm of the church should be the center of our life. Because as we take up the cross of the church's life, the cross through fasting, through feasting, through obedience, through prayer, through vigils, through divine liturgy, through the prayers of the church, as we do all of that, the cross of Christ becomes embodied in us. And the power of Christ's cross becomes active in us. So that as we follow Christ on this exodus into the tomb of our heart, eating as we go, not just blessed bread and fish, but consecrated bread and wine that have become actually his body and blood, as we eat and drink Christ on this exodus into the tomb of our heart, it is by the power of Christ's cross that we are cleansed within. And the darkness of our soul is illumined with the light not of the sun and the moon, but with the light of Christ's glory. And we are made to become partakers of God as we embark on this journey of the inner exodus into the tomb of our heart. And as we enter into the tomb of our heart, following the Lord Jesus, as the Lord leads us into the tomb of our heart, so that we become one with Christ in our heart, we become one also with him in the likeness of his holy resurrection. And then the tomb of the heart becomes the bridal chamber, where God becomes one with us, where we unite with God in a deep intimacy of compassion and love and joy. And we are born again, born from above, as children of God. And as children of God, we continue on this exodus, this inner exodus of the soul, this inner exodus of the gospel, all the way to the time that we will be a corpse. I'm not going to say that we become dead, because we've already died at our baptism. But when our body gives away, gives up, and the soul is separated from the body, we are still in Christ. And the body is brought into the church, and we enter at that time into our holy, into the Sabbath rest of God, and into the kingdom of heaven, into the promised land. So this feeding of the 5,000 is a mystery of it that is like the Holy Eucharist, and it teaches us what the Holy Eucharist is about, and what we are about as we partake of the Holy Eucharist. So as we receive the body and blood of Christ and Holy Eucharist, we need to be mindful. We need to be mindful. If we're entering into the mystery of Christ's death and resurrection and becoming a partaker of Christ in the depths of our heart, dear brothers and sisters, let's not give our eyes, our ears, our hands, our feet. Let's not give them to the world. Let's not pitch our tents in the wilderness and build a golden calf. Let's keep moving away from the cities and towards the kingdom of heaven that is within us by uniting ourselves to Christ in the likeness of his death, taking up our cross and following him into the kingdom of heaven that is within us. May the Lord God bless you. Most holy Theotokos, save us. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Mercy, O Lord, we thank you for this, we pray.
again, we pray, for our Metropolitan Tikhon, his grace, our Bishop Paul, for